Spirit of God. Aren't you glad you know Him?
Ooh, yes.
Isn't He a great God? Come on, Jewish church, you're dismissed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, stand up one more time. Give Him a praise. Biggest, loudest. Yes. Glorify Your name this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Glory to God. You got handed a little card before church or write it during church sometime. If you got that little card, keep up with it. You're going to get three more before this series is ended. Right. I probably won't deal with much of what's on it this morning. It's seeds for the soul, for good soul. On the back of it, it has a scripture. And this will be your stand on. I mean, I think we know it by heart. But you know what? It's good to know the thoughts of God every now and then, ain't it? Amen. We can't hear Him think, but we can know what He says He thinks by His word. Amen. So we have His word on it. It's just like somebody writing you a check.
Amen.
I'm just going to cash in on it.
Amen.
It's my word. When you got good word, the last sermon that I'll preach in this series will open up the understanding about the seeds. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk at this series, this beginning, that we're going to talk about destined for greatness. Our church and you as individuals are destined for great things.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that what we believe? Oh, don't get quiet on me.
Amen. Come on.
Yeah, I want you to look at your neighbor now, right now, and I want you to tell him, I will not get mad at the pastor this morning.
I will not get mad at the pastor this morning.
Woo! All right. I hope you remember that. Because this week, I have fussed, and I have raised all kind of sand with God about this series. But if we're going to be great, we're going to have to plant good seed.
Amen.
We got good seed. We know the seed's good, right? It's the word.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
We just got to get our ground right.
Yeah.
Amen. So this morning, I hope this will set on some good soul this morning.
Yeah,
amen. Hallelujah. Because we're destined for great things
at
CWC. And before we can do great things, we got to realize who we are and what we're not. Before restoration, when that's the season we're in, that's the year this year, you understand, God, every time you have a restoration, you always got to prune. Amen?
Yeah.
And we don't like that cutback, do we?
No.
Huh? So this is your cutback this morning. It was my cutback all the last 3 weeks. And I've been saying, really? Lord, are you going to give me a break? So you only got one morning of this, hopefully. And the next three's pretty good. All right. So this morning, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 29. And the great thing about this is you that have been here a long time have heard this before. And so God, when He told me to preach it again this week, I was like, really, Lord? There's some older people that's been there for a long time and haven't heard this. And it's like I ran out of sermons. But I know when God says rewind, it's for a reason.
Amen.
I mean, knows when God repeats anything, it's important in the Bible.
Amen.
He says, verily, verily, He wants you to listen.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
If it says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And He says it all the way through the New Testament. If you have an ear, how many is that talking to? Everybody in this building.
Amen.
All right, about chapter 29 in Genesis, you can skip over there, brother. I think I'm through with all them other slides. I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 29, verse 14. And Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him a space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? Number 16. And Laban had two daughters. And the name of the elder was Leah. And the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah was tender-eyed. Everybody wonders what that tender-eyed means. The Bible doesn't make it clear. Some people say she cried a lot, but I believe a lot of the commentators says she was tangle-eyed. couldn't tell which way she was looking, what we would call cross-eyed. And they called it tangle-eyed back then. I don't know what for it, but anyway. Leah was tender-eyed or tangle-eyed, and Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Number 18, and Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Stay with me. Number 20, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. Have you ever done something you loved and it just seemed like time flown? And Jacob said, Laban, give me my wife, and my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. Number 22. And Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass that evening that he took Leah, his daughter, brought her to him, and he went in unto her. Number 24. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah, Zilpah, his handmaid for a handmaid, or his maid for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah, and he said unto Laban, what is this thou hast done to me? Did I not serve thee with thee for Rachel? Wherefore hast thou beguiled me? Number 26, and Laban said, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also. For the service thou shalt serve with me yet another 7 years. Golly. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. And he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to be his wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And going to 30, and he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and served with him another 7 years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened up her womb, but Rachel was barren. Let's look at the rest of this. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. Everybody say Reuben.
Reuben.
Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will
love
me.
Yeah.
Huh? My husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord had heard I was hated, he therefore hath given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore she called, was his name called?
Levi.
And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. And she left barren. Now I want you to notice that this lady in the text name was Leah. And Jacob had, through a system of labor, had worked 7 years for one woman whom he loved, and he got tricked.
Yeah.
And got an ugly woman. How many know those families? There's that one sister.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Get off of that one. But he worked 7 years. But the 7 years seemed to go back like 7 days. He seemed like he just worked a week. And he is tricked into marrying her sister. The scripture says that she was tangle-eyed or tender-eyed. But it couldn't tell you the way it was looking. Her name means gazelle. She was ugly. She didn't come in a nice package. She come in a paper cardboard box. But she was gifted.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? She was blessed.
Amen.
And it said because she was hated, God opened her womb. It's hard for me not to deal with that right this minute, but I got to move on. But you know, it's crazy how somebody can be hated and God bless them.
Yeah.
Because of somebody's hate.
Yeah. Come on.
Hard for me not to deal with that, but I got to move. She was gifted. She was hated. But the Lord opened her womb. If your enemies understood that God blesses you when they hate you.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Oh. But here's a woman who has low self-esteem. She's married to a man that hates her.
Come on.
How many of y'all ladies got that one?
Come on.
Peter woke up the next morning, knew she wasn't the sister. And the Bible says in the morning, she saw that it was Leah, and now she was married to somebody that doesn't like her. That doesn't see her, her progress. That doesn't know who she is. That doesn't even care to know who she is. And she begins to give, but the Lord blesses her, opens her womb. She begins to give birth, and you find out that she births the first son. His name was Reuben. The second son, his name was Simeon. The third son, his name is Levi. And the fourth son, his name is Judah. Now, I want to talk for a few minutes on the sons. I want to go back to them just for a minute. And their names mean something in what Leah was going through. So Leah was going through something, so she named the first one Reuben because she said, maybe God will hear me. Reuben means to hear or to see. That's it. Reuben Reuben means to hear. There we go. Amen. I got confused. I'm going back to, and I'm dealing with the second one first, so that's what threw me off. But anyway, Reuben means to love and to hear. The next thing, she bore Simeon, and she said, my husband will see me now. So it means to see. The third one, it said, my husband will be joined to me or be committed. So she named him Levi. Because she said, I hope now my husband will get joined to me and get committed. By the fourth one, she had figured out that nobody was going to treat her like she wanted to be treated. And she said, God, I'll praise you anyway. And she named him Judah. I've learned to praise God in whatever state that I'm in. So you understand that Leah's children have significance on her as a woman, but it also has significance in the order as our Christian life. You see, you can't be a Christian until you go by Simeon and you see what a mess you're in and see what a problem you're in and you get tired of it and you quit it. Amen? You got to get away from it. You got to stop hating on people. If you're tired of hating on people, stop it. You got to quit. See what your mistake is and stop it. All right, I got to hurry.
That's good preaching, brother. Come on.
Can't be pushed into being a Christian. Can't do it for your mother. You can't do it for your grandma. You can't do it because your wife wants you to. And you can't do it because there's pretty girls in the church. And you can't do it because there's young, handsome guys in the church. You can't do it because somebody's going to help you in the church. So you want to be joined to that church because there's rich people in.
Come on, bro.
Come on.
Right.
Yeah, why y'all getting quiet? You can't do it for that reason. You got to see where you are and say, God, I'm sorry. I want to change.
Amen.
See. Amen. See me. Got to recognize your old wretched man that you are. It's not going to work anymore. It's miserable. It's ugly. It's wasting your time. And you got to move on. Till you see that, you'll never be able to change and make a transformation big enough to make God know who you want to be in your life. Till you wake up in the middle of it and say, it's not for me anymore. Till you see the misery, you cannot or will not change it. Till you look around and say, I'm sick of putting needles in my arm.
Right.
I'm sick of doing this. It don't make me feel like I want to feel.
Right.
sick of looking the way people. You can't even remember what you're mad at them about to be mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Unforgiven. Do you see your own jealous, fighting, conniving ways? Because everyone don't wrestle with the sins of the flesh. Some wrestles with the sins of the heart.
Yeah.
We gossip.
Yeah.
We back by.
Come on.
We talk about everybody as brothers and as dogs.
Come on, bro.
But sometimes we're hateful. We don't smoke, we don't chew, we don't run around with them that do, but we sure are hateful.
Right.
But come on.
Amen.
Hateful Christians.
Yeah. Amen.
Always sitting on a bird. Brother Pete Carroll used to tell about this dog that his friend had, and he said, It said that every time he went over to his house, he said, every time I went over to that friend's house, he said, a dog was sitting out there howling. And he said, he asked him one day, he said, why is that dog just sitting out there howling? He said, well, he always sits down on a cracker barrel. He won't get up. Why does he do that? Because he just likes to howl. That's some Christians. They'll go hunt up the cracker barrel patch so they can howl. I got to move on. Oh, yeah, you mean I gotta move on. You have to fall out with what you're worshiping, or you'll continue to worship it.
Right.
Come on.
Come on, brother.
Whoa. miserable. You'd be able to change because at that point you aren't even finished. All right, number two, you have to hear the word. You have to go back to the Reuben.
Amen.
And you have to hear the word. A list of people come to church. A lot of people come to church, they don't hear the word. The devil doesn't care about what flies over your head, he cares about what you get.
Amen.
Come on, we set up in here in church and we're thinking about Charlie's chicken strip. Gonna be good. McDonald's, you're gonna have this special. Tomorrow I'll be wearing a new thing to work. And all the time the word is flying.
Yeah.
And you're not getting it.
Yeah.
And you can't live off of what you don't get.
That's right.
You understand? I'm gonna compare it. He said for the grafted word. The grafted word. You understand a skin graft? It doesn't grow overnight.
No.
They take that skin off your thigh and put it on your hand or wherever they put it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't grow overnight. And then there's that part that catches hold, it fuses together, and then there's that part that just falls off. The grafted word of God you got to have over you constantly, consistently, not just one hour on Sunday morning, but you got to have it with you on Monday. You got to have the word on your Tuesday. You got to have the word on your Wednesday. You got the word on your Thursday. You got to have the word going on Friday, on Saturday. Come back Sunday, charged up with the word of God. No wonder you can't live victorious because you're constantly depending on something within here.
Come on, brother.
I'm not even half done.
Slow down.
Oh. My. I knew this was going to get tight. It ain't tight yet. Boy, it's really about to get. About to better get them kids out. It's going to start fighting here. We got to let the word sink down into our hearts. You can't force yourself to think faith. Faith comes by hearing.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, I'm going to think good thoughts. I'm going to think positive thoughts. No, that's not how you get faith.
Right.
Come on. Faith comes by you speaking what you don't see.
That's right.
Because when you hear yourself speak it, some of the stuff I preach from the pulpit, I'm like, I do a replay in the afternoon, and I said, oh, God. You've got to come up with that one. Because I don't even have a clue why I said that. You know why? Because faith comes by hearing. Some things I speak out that I don't. It wasn't in me. It wasn't in my spirit. I didn't plan to say. And all of a sudden it's out there. And I'm saying, oh, God, help me get that faith to make that work.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Whoa. Woo. We up in here. Giants are going to fall. It ain't going to fall because you danced. It's not going to fall because you praised. It's going to fall because you had faith.
Amen.
God says in the middle of what you're going through, I swear I'm going to bless you.
Amen.
I swear in blessing, I'm going to bless you. In multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. God has given you a promise, I'm going to bless you. And you can do it with nothing but a ragged rock. But you can do it, just swing it all. Giant waiting.
Come on.
Amen. You'll understand that better here in a day or two. To bring the giant. Woo. I got all ahead of myself, so I've lost my place, so we might as well go.
Come on, bro.
Whoa. Our God is able to save us.
Yes.
That God is able to save our souls through the hearing of the word.
Amen.
Save your body from the hearing by the hearing of the word. Save your that inner man, that crazy guy you'd have to deal with on a daily basis and does stupid stuff. You know what? That word will still heal him.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
So if you don't, if we don't care, if we don't see it right now, we got to get the word in us. Come on, there's stuff I've seen this week. I said, oh God, I don't like that. He said, get to the word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you're saved by what you hear.
Yeah. That's good.
When we get the word in us, that's all we need. That's it. The word. We would be able to graft our character into things that were not there. It would just be happening in us. And grafting takes time.
Yes.
And happen overnight. You have to continually listen.
Yes.
Amen. And the third son, I'm going to go to him. This is where I'm going to end up. That third son is joined to. Levi means to be joined, to be connected, hallelujah, to be focused, hallelujah, or to be committed.
Yes, amen.
This little message that I'm going to preach here for a few minutes. We got ceremonies and weddings, but we don't have marriage. We got people join the church and come up here for everybody to shake their hand and welcome them in here, but they're not committed.
Come on, bro.
If everybody that's joined this church in the last 2 years was here, we'd have to put chairs out. Just one Sunday. You know why? Because they're members, but they're not committed. Oh, I told you it's gonna get rough. My wife's saying, preach, hurry up. They move in together. They get taxidermy. But marriage is more than I do.
Right.
You aren't joined because the first little wind that blows, bloop, there goes our union. Because the first storm that comes, a weakness, a little test, they have no root, they are not have no connectivity, they are joined, but they are not committed. They're there for the convenience. People want sex, but they don't want to pay bills.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I knew it's going to get tight. It goes on through the motions of being committed, but we're not committed.
Come on. Yeah.
Give me what I want. You don't give me what I want. I'm out of here.
Come on, brother.
We have no understanding to our responsibility to any relationship. You cannot have a relationship without having an exchange. It's called reciprocity. Giving back for what you receive. People come to church. They want you, the church, to give, but what are you giving?
Come on.
Well, I give a George Washington. That ought to be good for a month. There's more George Washingtons come to church than Christians.
Oh, my, my, my.
You can't have a relationship without an exchange. Get in a relationship not to just get and not give back.
Amen.
A relationship that you just do all the getting and no giving back is going to die.
Right.
Ooh, shut up. People come to work to take a job, but they're not committed. They just want the check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First kid to get sick, they call in. Come on, takes a whole family, had to stay home, blow that poor kid's nose.
Yeah.
You don't understand reciprocity. Everybody wants money. Everybody, but are you willing to give at least as good as you get?
Come on, brother.
Well, I brought my check home. Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
You don't get a trophy because you brought your check home. And you work to make a living, it belongs to your family. I told you it's going to get tight in here.
Still love you. Come on.
Ooh. I said, no, God, I don't want to do this. That's why people don't stay anywhere or work for anyone, because you never had Levi.
Come on.
You never were committed. You showed up, but you weren't committed. You collected the anniversaries and a lot of birthdays. You have plaques on the wall, but you've never been a person that can't. They can be because they've never locked into commitment.
Amen.
I would hate to have lived and never and die not knowing what I could have been if I'd been committed.
Amen.
Some people have never thrown their whole self into anything. They may have 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Every dream of your life, you got 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and you wonder why it ain't working. Come on, God's not going to bless a business that you're not committed to.
Come on.
God's not going to bless a life that you're not committed to.
That's right.
You never become fully engaged. You never fully studied. You never invested for anything, for anybody, but you just want to get something. We've raised a generation that all they know is, hey, somebody's going to make it happen for me. And if you don't, I'm mad at you. I'm going to speak to you for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Amen. I ain't coming back. That church that preacher didn't feed me. He didn't take me to McDonald's. He didn't buy my lunch. He didn't even buy my cigarettes.
Come
on, I ain't going back to that church because they don't do what they're supposed to do. They ain't Christians. Hey, what you need to do is get committed. Give back for what you receive. Without reciprocity, the relationship will never reach an apex. It will always be on the rocks. It will always be in the mud. It will always be trying to make it work, and it can't. So what you're doing is getting the blessing. You come into church and you're just getting crumbs.
Come on.
Huh? That's a puppy dog blessing. Just get it because you was at the right place at the right time. But you can't get the children's bread because you won't pay the price.
Right.
You won't be even moving there and have Levi.
Right.
And get joined.
Hallelujah.
And get connected.
Hallelujah.
And say, church, what can I do?
Yes.
Come on, we're always looking for help. It's quiet in here. I asked the Lord to let me preach this on Sunday night. He said, all the people already know it. I wonder what would have happened if you were in school. You'd have been committed. When you got married the first time, you'd have been. In your marriage, what about your church? If you would have thrown your whole self in, we have always been casual but not committed. Come on, there's some people, I can't join every church. I can't join every committee. I can't be everywhere. I can't join.
Come on.
Right.
I can't be married to 1,000 women. Commitment.
Yes.
We're running around trying to make it work.
Hallelujah.
You know, there's some relationships. I'd like to be friendly with people, and I'd like to be real close friends, but I can't. It costs too much.
Amen.
Come on, I have to pick and choose who I'm going to let in my circle. Because, not because I don't like you, not because I don't want you, but because it costs something.
Yes. Amen.
If I'm going to be your friend, I have to answer every call. I can't screen them. Come on, y'all. Truth's going to set us free this morning. I know y'all. Oh, the pastor's come. What does he want? Call him back. Oh. Y'all get ready. Come on back to the piano. I'm not done. Should have been 30 or 60 fold, and we should have been 100 fold, and we're dealing with a 30 and 60 fold because we weren't committed.
Yeah.
Have bringing back what God wants us to bring. He wants you to be 100 fold.
Yes, he does.
He wants you to be 100 fold blessing.
Yes, Lord.
There's four things that I want to talk about this morning, real quick. I'm not going to stay on any one of them very long. Every church will tell you, every pastor will tell you, the most talented people in their congregation are not in their praise and worship. The most committed people are in praise and worship. Come on, y'all. Because the most talented have learned to lay on their talent. And they think, you think they're committed because of the talent. They don't want to commit to practice. We, bless God, we got some talented people in our praise and worship. But there are others that could be. But they had rather not commit. Saving my yes. Some people's life is a false advertisement. They're a big four-color, huge advertisement. But they do not have the product in their inventory that they're advertising. Come on. You know people like that, don't you? tribe of Levi first. Let me praise you, Lord. Let me worship you. Let me dance before you and have Levi first. I'll just dance up here. I won't be committed, but I'll just... Can't have Judah until you have Levi. Amen?
Amen.
There's four things that you've got to be committed to. The first one is your God. The God that gave to you. I want you to ask yourself this morning, am I giving back to you, God? Even half as much as you gave to me. Commitment, your first commitment is to God. Lord, am I giving my all to you this morning? Am I totally sold out? Am I walking before you? Am I witnessing everywhere I go? Am I giving back to what you gave to me? Reciprocity, the relationship will not last when it's one-sided. Come on. Your number two is to your family. Your second commitment is to your family. You gotta give back to your kids, to your grandkids. Come on. You changed their dirty bottoms when they were little. They better not leave you when you come to the nursing home and not visit you. Amen? They better not. It's called reciprocity. You give back for what you got for you. Your mom didn't leave you on no street. She didn't leave you for no nurse to wait on.
Amen.
Ooh. Why you hope you might shout? Oh, God. The third commitment is to your church. Your third commitment is to your church. I think I've covered that enough. You got to give back to what you received.
Amen.
These people have been here praying for you, fasting for you, and you have shown up. People are here lowing, loving on you, giving to you, and you say, I ain't got no commitment there, no blood loss. I don't feel like going today. Number four. Your fourth commitment is to your dream. How many has a dream in this house? How many knows what God has called you to do? Don't let any devil cheat you out of your dream. Don't let any devil lie to you and make you not give back to your dream. Because God gave you that dream for a reason. And if you don't have the other three commitments in place, this fourth one will not work. Several people, they don't know why they ain't making it work. I fasted, I prayed about. Well, you tried to help leave Judah and skip Levi. You gotta go back and bring up Levi and get committed. Commit yourself. Commit yourself. Ask God this morning, Lord, what do you want me to do to commit? Somebody's gonna get free in this house this morning.
Woo.
Somebody's about to walk out of here with a commitment saying, I'm going to do it my part. I'm going to commit to my God. I'm going to commit to my family. I'm going to commit to my church. And I'm going to commit and see my dream happen. Because not one of them will work without the other. Come on, how many we got in this house this morning to stand and say, this preaching is for me.